Welcome to Viva la Vulva, the podcast that explores and teaches about the goodness of the vulva. Here is your host, Dr. Kara Quant, an internal medicine doctor and advocate for female sexual health.
Hello, and welcome to the Viva la Vulva podcast. I am your host, Dr. Kara Quant, and I'd like to thank you for joining me today. It is a special day because I am joined by a co-host by the name of Peta Vaughn. We've done events together. We've known each other for a few years. And in this episode in particular, I do a yoni steaming session with Janisa, and we talk all about it. We talk about her journey to doing yoni steaming. There's a little sex magic discussion in there, as well as the power of the period. So all of that is within this episode. So take a listen.
Yoni steaming doesn't just target the physical, it targets the energetic as well. And you know, like Western medicine, it doesn't acknowledge the energetic at all, which I think is why women's healthcare sometimes suffers a lot, because women are creation beings. Yeah. You know, we are energetic beings. And I think if a lot of the treatments sometimes are just so aggressive, like, sometimes we just need to, I don't know, I feel like there needs to be more lifestyle changes that need to get pushed more, as opposed to take this, take that, take that, because then you're never going to figure it out, you know? And maybe I'm just viewing it through my own experience, but anytime you get to know yourself at a raw level, there's always profound changes that follow.
Hello, and welcome to the Viva la Vulva podcast. I am your host, Dr. Kara Quant, and I want to thank you for joining me today on this special day. I am joined by a co-host, actually a new co-host of mine on the podcast, and her name is Peta Vaughn. And a quick introduction from me is that we met a few years ago. And we have been collaborating on different things. We were doing the Vulva Evolution event together recently this past July. And yes, and she is a conscious creator. She has Vibes Entertainment. And I just want you to introduce yourself, Peta.
Well, thank you, Dr. Kara, for that lovely intro. As Dr. Kara said, my name is Peta Vaughn, and I am a conscious content creator. I am the CEO of Vibes Entertainment, and you can find my YouTube channel under Vibes Entertainment, where I create conscious content about spirituality, personal development, becoming a better human being. And also, I create conscious content for the queer culture as well. So please feel free to check out my content, and I'm excited to be on the Vulva, Viva la Vulva podcast.
Actually, yes, get it right.
I know. Right. I may not mess up Dr. Quant's podcast here. But yes, I am excited to be here. I think it's overdue, just so you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I'm excited to be here to co-host with Dr. Kara, and thank you for having me on.
Yes. And I want to introduce our guests on the podcast today. This is Janisa Jackson. She is owner of Awaken Lotus. And we recently did a yoni steaming session together. And I wanted her to come onto the podcast and talk about it, because it is something that the medical community shuns. It's not accepted within the medical community, within the Western medicine community. And I feel like it needs to be discussed more. You know, I think people need to be a little bit more open to it. So thank you, Janisa, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. So my name is Janisa Jackson. I am the owner of Awaken Lotus. A little bit about myself. I am a yoni steam practitioner, a womb worker, and an alchemist. So a lot of those things are interchangeable, but they're also separate. So
what got you into yoni steaming? Like, what first brought you into it?
So yoni steaming originally was not something that I planned to do, like, as a business or even as a service to offer other women. My own healing, in short, is what brought me to yoni steaming. This was like pre-pandemic. So maybe it had to have been like 2017, 2018. I was dealing with serious womb issues. I was on the IUD for around 5 years. I was on birth control since I was like 16.
Wow.
And those last few years, I noticed like something was off. Although I felt like I still was a little dissociated from my body, but I knew something was going on. I know my body got ridden with infections. I was in and out of the doctor. They kept giving me the same creams, gels, antibiotics. Gut flora was killed. Ended up getting these crazy, not even being sexually active, mind you. But I remember during that period in my life, there were lots of subconscious healing going on. Healing that mother wound for sure. So yeah, I ended up finding steaming on the internet because what I was doing was not working and I had to make a change. Not to mention, I had got a job as a youth development officer in Eswatini, Africa through the Peace Corps. And that was my hurrah to leave. And I got accepted. Everything was good, but I wasn't going to leave the country and my womb was a disaster. So I went on Google. I looked up holistic methods to heal BV, vaginitis, recurrent infections. And it was a hassle. But I found yoni steaming and I was like, this is interesting.
Were you first looking up yoni steam were you looking up methods to heal?
Yeah,
your vulva?
I was looking up
holistic. And then yoni steam came up.
Yes, okay. Yoni steaming came up. I don't remember on what website.
Yeah.
I think it was, I don't even remember there being like a website where it had all the information first. Yeah. It was just, I remember I seen it. The concept made sense. And mind you, during this time, I was already in like my herbalism, how do I say it, bag. I was already making herbal teas.
Yeah.
I was the type of kid eating dandelion and red clovers off the ground. Nice. You know what I mean? Yeah. I picked roses. I was always, that's very ancestral for me.
Yeah.
So, I was like, okay, I steam my face to like close up pores, clear acne. Okay, what's worse? Like I had nothing to lose really. My pH was already thrown off. You know, I was totally infertile. Like, the smell was just crazy. Wow. So I was like steaming fresh herbs, roses, and my vulva. Great. Like, I remember the first time I tried it, I just used my own little kitchen herbs intuitively. I didn't know.
You put herbs together.
Oh, yeah, in my kitchen.
Okay. Your own yoni steam.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, you have the basil, the rosemary. I know this sounds like
I wouldn't
crazy.
Even think to do that. I'd be like, Janisa, like, make me a blend. Like, I wouldn't think to, like, put, you know, lavender and all different stuff.
How did you know?
Tell you this is so ancestral, like, to me, like, the outside looking in, if I heard this, I'm like, this sounds insane. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, but when you're so deep in it, and depression is knocking on your front door, like, I'm the type of person who's going to do and try anything and everything before I just give up and just, you know? So if I had to steam my vagina to see if it works, I'm going to try it. What's to lose? You know, I had a timeline. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm an Aries. So I'm like, ooh, timeline. I got a year to fix this. We going to fix it. You know?
No.
It was going to get fixed. So, I remember I used, like, basil, rosemary, oregano, and cinnamon, I believe it was. And the first time I steamed, I didn't know if it did anything, but I knew like I felt better emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. So I ended up doing more research. I ended up finding Steamy Chick Institute. I ended up getting certified for my own personal reasons.
There's a certification program.
Yeah. It's a huge thing.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's like multiple tiers to it, but I just got the basic one just for the information, basic facilitation. And the pandemic hit. So I wasn't leaving anywhere.
You were in Africa.
So I remember 6 months after I first steamed, the infections went away indefinitely. I haven't had BV since then. During that time, I was also having 9-day cycles, a lot of brown blood, a lot of just heavy clotting, a lot of cramps. After a full year of steaming, my periods went from 9 days to 7 days consistently, 7 days to 5. And now I have 4 to 5. 5 is like rarely, but yeah, and it made such a drastic difference. So I was like, okay, that's kind of how I became a yoni steam practitioner. Yeah, like, and I had no, like, believe me, if someone told me I'm gonna be a yoni steam practitioner like four or five years ago, I'd have been like, what?
Yeah,
no, I'm not gonna be living nomadically in South America. What are you talking about? Yeah, you know, that was my goal.
Yeah.
So you know, they had other plans for me.
And you know, like there's so many people that come to me as a doctor and they're like, I have a yeast infection or I have BV mm-hmm. and I've used Flagyl, or I've used Diflucan to like treat this and like it comes back mm-hmm. continue like over and over again. And like there's not really much information after that from Western medicine on right. what else to do. I mean, boric acid is something that's like recommended if someone is right. having like recurring infections, but to like do steaming.
Right.
Yeah. You I mean, there's definitely nobody that's like, oh, if you have recurring infections, you need to do be steaming.
Right.
So yeah, I'm happy that you had that intuition to mm-hmm. like, okay, this isn't working. Like the medicines and the cycle of medicines are not working and it's like fucking up my pH. Like it's fucking up my gut flora. I need to figure out another way to make this happen. And absolutely. You made it happen.
I sure did. It like thinking back on it, like I'm so proud of the young me. Feels like it was like yesterday, but it was a really long time ago. Really like, what? I blink and I was like, what just happened over the last few years? But yeah, I'm extremely, extremely grateful. I wanted to touch on the physical aspect because I know a lot when it comes to like Western medicine, they treat the physical, which is important. But one thing I found out about Yoni seeing me after doing it was when I first went into it, I was strictly trying to treat the physical. I wasn't even thinking of the energetic and the spiritual aspect behind why I'm getting BV, mm-hmm. why I keep getting these recurring affections.
Yeah.
Mind you, I went celibate for a year during that time. So it can't be because I'm having sex with just, you know, God knows what. But there was a lot more to it. There was all the years of me being disassociated, not connected, had caught up to me. And for those physical manifestations to go away, I had to address the energetic aspect. But what comes with that is accountability. And oftentimes when we are sick, that we forget that we are our own healers. Our bodies are constantly healing itself. Yeah. And we also forget that we have the power to be in control of that. But what comes with that is accountability and responsibility. And you realizing that you're going to have to stop, you know, sleeping with your boyfriend that keeps cheating on you, you know, like, you know, for you to make those changes, for you to stop getting this BV, because
what
all
is
it
BV
is,
for those?
BV
is like, it's not a BO.
BV is bacterial vaginosis. So it's an infection that happens within the vagina. And it happens because of an abnormal pH. No.
It's not.
A yeast infection is a yeast infection. So that's Candida. Bacterial vaginosis is a bacteria. So it's a bacteria versus a yeast. But oftentimes when a woman is treated with antibiotic, it can mess up their flora to where they get a yeast infection. So oftentimes I'll be like, okay, I will prescribe you both of these medicines because I know that you might get a yeast infection after taking the antibiotics. So, but BV is bacterial vaginosis and it usually happens because of an abnormal pH of the vagina.
Okay.
And so different things can do that. Like certain body washes, if it's like a fragrance body wash or like certain things, ingredients within the product. So like glycerin is not a good ingredient within products, but often, I mean, there's so many lubricants that have glycerin in it and like glycerin just breaks down into sugar and sugar in the vagina is not.
That's not okay.
Because it'll mess up your pH. So it's a matter of pH. But I actually want to get into like the energetic because, you know, I do believe in psychological things, manifesting into physical symptoms and so forth. So if you don't mind sharing, like what do you feel like you had to clean up energetically for the
spiritually
infections to get better?
Okay, let's get into it. I'm gonna give you the whole tea.
How did we get this life together?
Okay, so I'm gonna be honest, I was a little loose back in the day, like a little promiscuous, but not out of the not through the lens of trauma, but through the lens of curiosity. I was very sexually active at a young age just because, like, I was like, oh, I want to get these experiences.
What's a young
What does this mean?
I did. What's a young age,
I would say 13, 14.
Okay.
13, 14, you know? So again, going through those motions when you're taking on other people's energy, especially as like a woman, women are nesters. We nest things. That's why we hold on to things, whether it's childhood trauma, who cussed us out last week, you know, ancestral trauma, all these things. So you can imagine at a young age, not being connected to yourself, not really having proper sex education, not understanding your menstrual cycle, right? And having sex with a bunch of different people around that age, you know, and all that confusion, where does it get stored? Right? So again, engaging in all these sexual acts, not being aware, everything was fine because I'm young, body is cleansing itself. But it was after I hit, like 2021 is when it really started to like
catch up with you.
Yes. Because again, I took out the birth control. I'm a lot more conscious. Like I was always a very intuitive kid. I was always very smart. So I felt like the rules for me were a little different than others.
Did you start birth control that young? At
13, I started birth 14? Control and I was 15, 18 or 16.
I mean, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of women that start birth control early because either their periods are not happening on a monthly basis or, I mean, acne. Acne is a big one.
But
Or if you're on like certain medicines called Accutane, you have to be on birth control pills to like, because you can't be pregnant with that medicine. So
And would you both recommend that? Like, someone that's that young to start on birth control?
I'm not for birth control. Hormones are still developing. When it comes to birth control, I feel like if we were taught fertility awareness at a young age, you would see a lot less women taking birth control.
I mean, I think that there was good parts of birth control. I was actually just talking with you before and we were talking about like how, you know, our grandparents had 10 siblings, you know, 12 siblings. And like now the average family has like three, four. So I feel like birth control has definitely helped. And for women who have wanted to be in the workforce and, you know, like I feel like there's some advantages to it, but I also feel like it can mess up your libido. Like it can cause you to have some vaginal dryness. It can maybe cause you to have like infections. So there are some obviously side effects of the medicine that I think people aren't aware of, but no, I would definitely not start anybody at a young age with birth control.
Especially not before you teach them what their menstrual cycle means.
Why are you taking
it? You know what I'm saying? Like, but again, that's a personal opinion. But but back to the BV, after getting off the birth control and having so many partners, not knowing how to energetically cleanse myself as well after sex. I think that's not, I know that's where the infections came from. Because bacterial vaginosis, like you said, it's a bacteria. And people carry bacteria with them. Whether it's energetic bacteria. You ever like have an experience or you have sex with someone and they not the best energy and you feel like, ugh, like you feel icky. Like you feel a little nasty. Like, man, I need a few showers, maybe a little, you know what I'm saying? Like it's kind of like that. Exactly. But that's also a reflection of me. Why am I being the perfect host to bring these, this bacteria in? You know, for that bacteria to fester, there's going to need to be heat, dampness, and toxins, you know? So, a lot of times when I have clients come in and they deal with BV, the first thing I ask them is, has your partner been anywhere? Nine times out of 10, their partner is elsewhere. They have intuitive feelings that their partner is elsewhere. And that's a telltale sign. You can tell if, especially when it comes to men, because bacterial vaginosis, there is no symptoms for men.
So
they just walk around, they're carrying around, giving these girls different bacteria, not necessarily yeast. And it's a telltale sign when you keep getting BV after you have sex. And it smells a little funny. You're like, what is going on?
Well, it's I mean, I don't think that there's any evidence, and I mean, evidence more or less, but for BV, you know, that there's evidence to say that men carry BV, but it is from the man that the pH can be messed up. If you were to ejaculate inside the woman or something like that, then that can mess up the, the pH.
And
the,
men may not, men may not get bacterial vaginosis, but they do carry bacteria. And if that bacteria connects with us, boom, that's where the BV comes from. And that is where that, exactly. We store that. We nest that. We can, you know? So that's what I mean when I say, I didn't mean to say like men carry bacterial vaginosis, but they do carry bacteria that causes, you know, and that's not just with men. That's with literally anybody.
Anybody.
But I see it. I don't see it often in my clients who are queer. I'm going to be honest. That's just with the women I've seen.
Yeah.
So that I don't have, again, it's not a study that I've studied, but with the clients I've noticed, all the BV girls who are getting it consistently from their partners are the ones that who have been with their men.
Interesting.
So again, I would love to hear about more research on that, but that's something to know.
Okay. I'm just thinking, like, the patients that I see with BV, are they...
You going to check for the next time. Next time. Where you been?
Even then, as a doctor, I don't know what you guys can and cannot ask, but I would just ask and be like, so do you think you got it from, like, you know, I don't know.
Where you been, girl?
Yeah, no, I always ask. I mean, I want patients to feel comfortable with me. And so in terms of having a conversation about sex, I always am like, okay, I usually ask this question, but do you have sex with men, women, or both? Or if it's a, you know, like whoever it is, I ask the opposite sex and I say, do you have sex with both? And some people are like, oh no, I only have sex with men. Or there's some people that slip up and they're like, oh, I have sex with women. Oh wait, no, I mean, I have sex with men.
No, not that.
Or I have sex with both. So I feel like, you know, I ask the question. It's up to patients if they want to answer the question honestly or not, but at least it is put out there.
Right. You know? No, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. At least it's put out there. What do you think are some, like, common misconceptions of yoni steaming that you encounter?
I would say when I talk to everyday, well, not really everyday people, but what I see online mostly, you hear about it disrupting the pH. You hear about it saying the steam can't reach the uterus. Throwing off pH and not reaching the uterus are the main two that I see. Yeah. I haven't really seen any other ones outside of really.
Yeah.
But yeah, those crack me up, because if you look online, you know there's no research to validate that or invalidate that.
Yeah.
You know, but if you look at all the research of yoni steaming, you typically have to change the language. So if you type in, like, fumigation with herbs or like steam therapy or something of that sort, you'll find all your research on the Eastern side, none of it on the Western. But it makes sense, though, because, again, yoni steaming doesn't just target the physical. It targets the energetic as well. And, you know, like, Western medicine, it doesn't acknowledge the energetic at all.
Yeah.
Which I think is why women's healthcare sometimes suffers a lot, because women are creation beings.
Yeah.
You know, we are energetic beings. And I think if a lot of the treatments sometimes are just so aggressive, like, sometimes we just need to, I don't know, I feel like there needs to be more lifestyle changes that need to get pushed more, as opposed to take this, take that, take that, because then you're not sitting in your shit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I can curse on here. You're not sitting in your shit and you're never going to figure it out, you know? And maybe I'm just viewing it through my own experience, but anytime you get to know yourself at a raw level, there's always profound changes that follow. And you can't have those profound changes when you're constantly looking for external things to fix internal problems.
Yeah.
You know? So... Yeah. Yeah.
I do agree with that. I agree with that. And when I have patients come in and, you know, they're suffering from anxiety, they're having panic attacks, or they're having, like, a chest pain. Right. And, you know, I look in their chart and it's like they have a history of anxiety. Like, I do feel like, you know, like I said earlier, the mental can lead to physical manifestations.
For sure.
Like, you can have certain symptoms because of the thoughts that you're thinking, or the experiences that you've had, or the emotions that you're not letting out, or like all of those things.
all of those things.
So I feel like that's a big one.
You see it a lot with like menopause. You know, I think that is where we should shift focus if you want to look at energetics as well, because when women enter menopause, we forget that they're entering a whole new phase of their life. They're entering their wise years. They're out of their maiden. They're out of the mother. They're into the wise.
Yeah.
And what comes with that is a lot of grief. And, you know, women deal with the heat, the hot flashes, the heat strokes, all these different things. Emotions are going crazy. Mm-hmm. And all that we can offer is just, oh, hormonal pills, because your hormones are imbalanced. Well, of course they're imbalanced. I'm going through a cycle, but it's not necessarily about pills to balance out those hormones, but it's about working through and what they mean. Like, for example, like, I say this a lot when a lot of these, my menopause older ladies are getting, like, hot flashes and night sweats when they're specifically waking up. The first thing I always tell them is look at the womb and see if there's any repressed anger. When you're waking up and you're sweating, the subconscious is active, right? And mind you, you no longer are having a period where you can cleanse and transmute.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're grieving that as well. So where is it going? It's going to have to come out one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. So even things like that, I just wish these were conversations that we engaged in more.
Yeah.
Right? Because it could just be a simple conversation. It's not necessarily like, oh, you have to theme. This will be the fix for this. But just exploring different modalities that target or that encourage transmuting energy as opposed to just keeping you sterile.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. Yeah.
So
have you with your menopausal clients, do they offer things that yoni steaming helps
for menopause
them get through? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I think just
does
like
it balance out. For
yeah.
Them?
Yeah. For sure. I think when it comes to menopause and steaming, a lot of them, of course, they love it for the benefits of them, the lubrication and the warmth and the wetness, but also like for them to just sit and relax and not have to think about like anything is gold for them.
Yeah.
You know, because by that age, you have the family, you have the kids, you have the partner, you may have grandparents, you have all these other responsibilities, but you often don't see a lot of self-care.
Yeah.
So yoni steaming for them is really like their self-care.
Yeah.
They can finally have the time, although we always have the time, but you know, they have the time to really take care of themselves, right?
Yeah.
So I see the most profound changes with my menopause girls. But I honestly, I think it's less to do with the steam, but more to do with their openness.
Nice.
You know, and them being receptive and actually taking the time to themselves.
Yeah.
So, and the herbs and the steam are just a bonus.
Right. Earth
is going to meet you, right? Yeah, so, it's going to meet you where you at. So,
I kind of wanted to touch on the energetics with you.
Yeah.
Because that's like my jam.
Yeah.
And because Kara and I had a little discussion in the car earlier. We were talking about trauma and energy being stored in the body. Mm-hmm. Right. And how that can get trapped in the body from any sort of trauma experience from when you're a child. So you could have a trauma from when you're like 5 and still carry it all the way till you're like 70.
Absolutely.
And not know. So I want to touch on how yoni steam can support clearing and the energetics of that and like the type of people that you treat that have energetic imbalances and how does yoni steam support that?
Support the energetics. The main thing is circulation.
Yeah.
So yoni steaming is not only physically circulating, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also energetically circulating. So let me give you an example. You know, when you make tea on the stove and you heat it up and it gets too hot and the lid starts to bubble,
yeah.
That's a sign of circulation as well, right? And that's what it does with our insides. So if there is stagnation, right? When I say stagnation, that means your chi, aka life force energy, is blocked.
Yeah.
Right. So wherever that is in your body, the steam also with the herbs, when women have a lot of trauma, I typically try to use a mix of cleansing and also like really like chi opening herbs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So again, when the herbs and the steam and the water, all of that is circulating, you'll be able to relax and it may open up different parts of your conscious.
The channels. Yeah.
Exactly. The channels, just like meditation.
Yeah.
Just like when you do acupuncture, acupressure, certain pinpoints, if you touch, right, is going to bring about an experience, but it's less about it bringing about, but it's more about what you do with it.
Yeah.
Because yoni steaming can show you all these things that are quote unquote wrong or that need to be transmuted or changed. But it really is up to you to either want to do that, if you want to hold on to it, or do you want to release? And I've noticed that a lot of times we don't know how to release.
Yeah.
And I think that is where I have shifted my focus and my consultations over the last year, is teaching women how to transmute these traumas, not just telling them, okay, you have to release, you have to transmute. I like to teach the replace method. We talked about this in our consultation, but for example, if someone is dealing with insecurity, lack of self-esteem, all like anxiety, these are things that you're actively working through, trying to transmute, right?
Yeah.
I tell them while you're steaming, focus on these things, but also ask yourself what it is that you want to replace it. Because when you try to release something, you get rid of it, but there's a void.
Yeah, right.
And whatever frequency you are in is going to fill that void.
Yeah. Or it could be the same one if you don't clear it.
Exactly. So that's why I tell people, it's kind of like when you take a baby off the breast and give it a pacifier.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So replace with your insecurity with confidence and continuously tell yourself that. And this is where cycle tracking gets important. So I love recommending transmuting when you're in that luteal phase of your period, right before you start your menstrual cycle. Because during that time, your body is prepping itself for its next cleanse. All those things that you're dealing with will come up, right? So, of course, you view it as, oh, I have anxiety.
I always know when my period is coming.
Exactly, because you know intuitively your body's on that clock.
So if you hone in on that, right, and ask
yourself, like, what is actually coming up, and what do I want to replace this with?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's the easiest form of transmuting that I teach.
Yeah,
at the basic level, there's other ones, but this is the bread and butter. I feel like we could all get in the habit of replacing something. That's why we go shopping, right?
Shop for new feelings, you know? Like, it's the same thing. Like, I don't
So you say during the luteal phase, right before your period, you're preparing for cleansing of your body, but you're also kind of creating intentions, like what you want to bring into your
creating intentions for sure, but also follow through. Because it's not just hard to wake up one day and be like, I'm confident, but you literally have to practice it, whether it's fake or not.
Yeah.
That's where the work is. So when you're in those times in that luteal phase when you're feeling insecure, that's when you should go outside, maybe put some eyeliner on, put some eyeshadow on, whatever it is you got to do, and act confident. Because now you're replacing that emotion during that phase. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know? So then, like, I would think there was a phase of you having to release it. So then where does... Okay.
So when you bleed, you're in your winter, you're in your mood.
So do you set that intention to release with the period?
Exactly. That's what the blood is for. Oh. That's why it comes out.
I see. So then by the time it's done clearing, you're...
That endometrial lining, it's mucus, right? That gets shed. Mm-hmm. That mucus, dampness, stuck, sheds.
Yeah.
Transforms into something anew, ovulation.
Okay. Do you ever, I mean, this has just popped in my mind, but do you ever do, either for yourself, do any type of things with your period blood, or do you do?
Do I? You want to go there?
Yeah, we do.
If you're releasing stuff, emotions, or whatever you don't want in your body, in your life, what have you, like, is there, like, do you ritualize it? You know,
absolutely. You, blood is alchemy.
Taboo. I've heard that.
Oh, but yeah. Blood is alchemy.
Yeah.
Like, although, yes, this is all the stuff you're cleansing. At the end of the day, this is like the inside of your womb, right?
Yeah.
This carries so much. Mm-hmm. So you can nourish your plants with it, you know, feed your partner some soup with it. I don't do whatever you want to do.
Okay, but what do you do with it?
Listen.
Let's go with what you do. You feed your
everything
partner.
Everything I'm saying, I've done.
You've made your man food with your yoni blood.
Like,
don't get me caught up. But why not?
And what is the purpose with feeding him your...
I need to know. Do you want to get into sex magic? You want to get into that little
girl? Do you see all these cameras here? Me trying to find out what you over here doing.
Okay. When it comes to period blood, you can literally do whatever you want with. That is liquid gold. So whatever it is you want to manifest, whatever it is you want to call in, or even you just want to play around, you can do that. You know, people do different like spell work for different things, whether it's to bring money, whether it's to bring in self-love.
But give us an example. What would that look like?
Okay, please. In the beginning, my very first one.
Yeah.
So the very first one I did was, actually, no, I'll share a better one.
Yeah.
When I was calling in love
a
few years ago, right? I did a little work and I used my menstrual blood and I covered the candle in it. I had a moment and then...
You covered the candle in the blood.
I did some intention.
Before you lit it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It was like dressed in my period blood.
Wow.
With roses stuck to it.
Mm.
Roses stuck to it. Yeah.
Wow.
I've also made candles and infused my blood with it, you know?
We coming to Janisa. I got my list.
That is not a service. That is an expensive service.
Listen,
it might be worth
I had an idea of growing mushrooms with my period blood. You know what I mean? Yes, I'm
mean,
the
you can
type.
Do it with placenta, right? Like you can
absolutely you can do it with the placenta. Placenta, I'd preferably eat it, but yeah, absolutely.
But you can plant a tree with placenta.
Yeah,
with
the placenta, make some mushrooms out of your period blood. Like I said, if you're in, you know, if you and your partner do it consensually or not, really is your business. But
yeah. But when you were calling in love,
if you're calling in love, use your menstrual blood.
Okay, like, you drenched it the candle with your blood. The candle you with lit it.
And I then... lit it. Let it. Light for, I think it lit for 7 days. Yeah, it lit for seven days. 7 day candle. It was very feminine. I did a bath with it. I've done baths with my period blood.
Bath with your period blood.
Yes. Yes. Bath with period blood with a little bit of rose water, a little bit of roses in there.
And then what do you feel like is the essence of that, of doing that?
Oh my God. You know, it depends on what I'm calling in. I think the essence is whatever I make it.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like anew. And I'll tell you that much. Who doesn't feel anew when you come out the bath?
Yeah.
Imagine after you're charging it up with your own life force.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, the womb is power.
It's the direct connection to the cosmos. Yeah. Are you kidding me? We give life. We take life. Like, everything that's gone on in this world revolves around the womb. Yeah. So, like, and we've forgotten about that. Well, we didn't forget. It was that knowledge was taken away from us.
Mm.
You know, all these things I'm saying now, it feels like taboo to talk about, but a couple hundred years ago, this was
nothing.
You know what I mean? This is what we do. It's what women get together and do, you know?
Yeah. We come to the elder, the ancestor. Hey, I'm having all these. I got something for you.
I got something for you.
Whip up the herbs.
Whip that up.
Yep. Let us have a little that. Sit around the fire, baby girl. Sit around the fire. I got you.
Blood
sit on this.
Sex magic is amazing. If you want, you know, keep your partner straight.
Tell us about some sex magic. Tell us about your alchemy work and sex magic.
Man.
You know we want to
know. I love this topic because it's only recently that I've opened up about talking about it. Like, publicly.
We're here for it.
But I love using sex magic for inner alchemy. I can honestly say that is the reason why I am who I am is because of sex magic.
Uh-huh.
When you engage in sexual you know, intercourse, whether it's with yourself or someone else, like what that does is that is enlightening your spirit body, you know, your ethereal double.
Yeah.
Right. And that is the most potent, some of the most potent magic you can draw from.
Yeah.
You know, so mix that with my period blood. I know how strong mine is because I'm so aware of my cycle. I know what's being cleansed, you know, so infuse that with sex with the right partner. You can literally do anything you want. Or have anything you want.
Okay.
You know, I can't complain about my partnership.
First of all,
you can put it on them straight from source. You can feed them food with it. You know, they can put it on their face. It's really up to you.
I feel like I need a manual or a formula. I mean,
it sounds like you can create whatever you want. Whatever you want. You can make your own ritual.
Like, I don't want to be like, okay, what do we do with you?
What
you hear?
Like,
come on in, lover.
It's
you know what I mean?
Don't have it on my face.
What do we do?
Okay, I will say some of my practices are very, very extreme and they're not for everybody.
Right.
I will say find the method.
Disclaimer,
like fat disclaimer. Don't do what I do, or do what I do, but be prepared because this is not something I just woke up. I was like, this is you know.
Yeah.
So,
but for those of us who are ready
come to
your
channels. So, I think if you're someone who's into baths, or if you're someone that's into elements, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can work with elemental magic, whether it's with fire, water, earth, air, you know, or you can work with candles, with fire. You can work with, again, baths. You can work with just pure cosmic energy. That's harder, but it's possible, you know? So the first thing I would say is find whatever alchemical process that you're attracted to.
Yeah.
And then go from there. Write down what you're calling in and whatever thoughts come to your head, even if they do sound crazy, write them down. That could be a channel for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Mine just happened to be make food with my period blood because I'm a really good cook.
Mm.
I'm an alchemist in the kitchen.
You
call
taste
it conjure
it?
Cooking. Oh, of course.
Does it taste?
It tastes like my good food. My food? No, I make really good food. And I don't feed it to like just people out there. Like, no, it's a safe space. But
your purpose in doing that? Is just to feeding yourself back your own life force
energy?
Yeah,
absolutely. Or if I'm sharing it with partner. You know, my partner, yeah. then we're doing it together.
Yeah.
Shoot, I might take some of his too.
Yeah.
Make a little potion.
Make a little something.
Okay. Let's do it together.
I'm here for the potions.
Yeah. That could be, again, strengthening our spirit bodies beyond the physical.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but again, I wouldn't recommend this unless you are comfortable with your partner. You know them, you see them, and they see you.
Yeah.
They know the good, the bad, the ugly. And if something that you guys really want to take it beyond dimensions, do it.
Okay.
If,
for instance, life's you're short. Heard that.
Too short.
You heard. Know what I mean? Put a little blood on your face. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, people do it.
People do it.
Yeah. They do. PRP is something where it's like the plasma from your body. They spin it and they put it as a facial.
Oh, yeah. So and what do they call it? The patches for skin. What's it called? Skin cells or something? Stem cells.
Stem cells.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yes. No, it is. It's a thing. So totally people thing. Are already doing it with their own blood from their veins. So right. you might as well use the blood from that is already coming out of your womb.
What do you think is more powerful? The one from yeah. your veins or from your womb? Let's yeah. be for real. You yeah. know? So, yeah. When you're ready. When you're comfortable. Learn how to track your cycle first.
Are you going
to
be doing some sex magic?
I'm trying to be that. You see me over here?
What again?
Get yourself some pink candles, Peter.
What again?
Get yourself some pink candles.
So, no, but for real.
Yeah,
for real.
Get yourself some pink candles. Okay, so, you know?
So give us like a brief breakdown of how that sort of ritual would work. If you're calling in love.
Like a
single,
love. Like a love
single.
Spell, love
so, yeah. We single. So, you know, I'm here for the energetics of
there's
it.
So many different ways you can do this. But again.
But with your period blood. Like how. Tell us about the candle.
So you want to do just the candle?
Yeah.
Or do you want to do like a 3-step process? Because you could do a candle, the bath, and a meal in the same day.
Goddamn.
Make with the blood.
With the blood. With like, the make, blood. Why with not the make blood. Yourself a nice meal. You're going to nurture your body first before you cleanse yourself, right? Nurture your body. Like, you know, set your intention. Mind you, this is why I say track your cycle is important because right. I want you to make these intentions in the beginning of your cycle. Like, right. you
yeah.
know?
Like day one.
It's yeah, heavy, it's like when you're bleeding, anyway. Like yeah. when you first bleed, collect the blood from that first blood. You're into the ovulation. Think about your testosterone running through your body. Think about what it is you're trying to call in, that luteal phase. You acknowledge, do some transmuting for around the time your next period comes when you're bleeding again. Use that blood, you
the
know.
Same blood make it, from the first.
You can use the same blood or you can use the fresh blood. Up to you. You can dry
what
it.
What do you
make
do with the blood?
I make elixirs sometimes. Mix it with a little bit of water. Sometimes a food grade alcohol. Let it sit for some time. Let it dry up.
Alcohol.
Use like the flakes and candles if I don't want to use fresh blood.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why I needed to get into the nitty gritty. I was like, yo, you need to break this down
yeah,
for me.
Like, get a thing, let it dry up and flake it.
Candle. Oh my God, yeah. my mind is blown.
Yeah. Like, that part. Yeah.
that part. Started with steaming in the blood.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, calling in a baby. Hello. Mm. Hello, absolutely. Yes. Hell yeah, I'd use my blood. That's. Let me make room for you with this.
Right here,
you know? Yeah. And then, you know, if you want to engage with your partner and then be like, hey.
Wow. I'm going to be calling up Janisa.
You can make a candle or you can just buy a little mini candle and just cover your blood in it, dried blood flakes, whatever it is you want to do.
Wow.
You know?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing.
If you have Thank stuff you you're trying that. To clear the womb with, write down what you want to release, burn that paper with the blood that's on fire. You know?
Listen.
The person, like, so my family or part of my family is from Louisiana, from the South.
Okay.
And I feel like New Orleans. New Orleans is a big place. And I feel like there's all of that. Yeah. Voodoo.
That voodoo is already part of her blood.
Like, I learned about that when I was younger. Like, my aunt took me to like a magic shop. And so I feel like it's always been around me and there's always been a like interest in it and a belief in it when other people didn't necessarily believe in it or thought it was like. Fakes or hopes or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do believe that all of that is powerful. I mean,
absolutely.
I had it on the podcast like this was a long time ago, but vabbing. Have you ever heard of vabbing?
Tell me about vabbing.
Vabbing is when you use your vaginal fluid and you put it behind your ear.
That sounds
fire. If you're like wanting to call in something, or if you're like going into a similar.
That makes so much sense.
If you're going into an interview and you're like, you know, I want to like just feel confident, little, just put a little like, you know, extra.
Ear?
Yes.
Isn't that like a certain spot in acupressure that they press for something too behind the ear?
It probably is. Oh, I
feel like I just read that somewhere, but I don't remember. Yeah. That's so crazy.
Yes.
Wow. I'm inspired.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that during ovulation. Yeah, I'm totally going to do that. I'll report on that. That sounds lit.
Yeah. I mean, so
it's probably just as powerful as like maybe the blood, using your blood is more powerful. But. Yeah,
you could, I think it depends on the person.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing when it comes to like all this stuff. We immediately think it's like associated with hoodoo, voodoo, with that. But if you get rid of all of that stuff, at the end of the day, like we're magical beings. Before there was any sort of like religious influence, these were things that were just done and they're still being done just behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's a radical act to talk about these things, you know, because then you'd be going against years of
Western
patriarchy, should I say. You know what I mean?
Yes,
really,
definitely.
Years of patriarchy, you know, and anything that challenged that, just, oh, you can't do that, especially as a woman of creation.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what they try to keep you from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine if every woman was aware of this, there would be what?
Right. But that's what? That's why we're here.
That is why we're here.
That's why we're here.
That is why, Viva La Vulva was created. Because I'm like, what? We are powerful beings as a woman who has a womb who can create, like, bring in life, not create, but bring in life. Like, I feel like that is so powerful. And like,
sure
we underestimate ourselves. Patriarchy is so rampant. And it's like, but.
And like every section of society.
But like, where do we understand our power? Like, and I feel like it is happening. Like, I feel like we are coming into our own.
A new age.
I think it's definitely a new age.
Absolutely.
But we've had to come.
Very far.
Do you have a lot of clients? Do you feel like a lot of people know about this work?
I do. I mean, I've worked with over 200 women.
Nice.
So that's pretty decent.
We're aware.
Very aware. Even if they're not, they're curious.
Yeah.
Nonetheless. Because like I said, steaming is very ancestral.
Yeah.
Like prior to modern gynecology, this is what like women's gynecology, I wish I had a better term for gynecology, but this is what womb work was, you know? So of course, through colonization and colonialism, like especially in the Western hemisphere, it's super fresh.
Yeah.
It's super fresh. So all those practices for women's like healthcare were completely gone and erased.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's coming up so prominently in the Western hemisphere, I think once the West catches on, it's already set in stone because the rest of the world already knows.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of the world is already hip. Like, again, like I said, you can go into a Korean spa and you'll find a steam. They're not going to, of course, give you a consultation or any of that because they're like, I've been doing this since I was eight. I don't know what to tell you.
That makes me want to ask you, like, what are the roots of yoni steaming? Because I feel like it has been everywhere else except the U.S.
The West.
Yeah.
So that's funny. They're my facilitator, or the woman who educated me on this, she talked about this, but there isn't one country that started it. If you look back on records, you see evidence of this being done everywhere.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, for example, there is a tribe in Namibia, and these women, they do like dry steams. There's because they have no water, like it's limited water. So they do smoke steams for their vaginal, their armpits, for the whole body, and that's how they cleanse themselves.
Wow.
And that they've been doing that since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
You know, even girls in the East as well. So there isn't one place where we know that it originated from. When we look through certain like books and certain facts, like you'll see pictures or hieroglyphics of it everywhere.
Yeah.
So even in the West, I think it was probably here. This is my personal opinion. I have no evidence to back this up, but I honestly think it probably started in the West.
Yeah.
You know, but again, to go through that, we'd have to go through years of history and who was here originally, and that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But But again, like I said, the freshness of colonialism in the West is the reason why it's like, oh, what is this now?
Yeah.
So.
And even proof, like Dr. Kara is here.
Yes. Who believes in Western medicine.
You studied Western, right, you studied all of Western medicine. All of Western medicine. Yeah. And then to just be aware that, hey, there's a different way to treat the body and the womb.
Right.
And I honor you for that. Thank you for having me. Right? Because, like, as a doctor, you could have been like, not really.
Right.
Come to the medicine.
Like, yes.
Western medicine is the only way. And
And there's a lot of doctors who are like that, but then there's all the ones who are open.
Yeah.
You know, I know we talked about this before, but there is a lot of steam-friendly gynecologists, you know, and they're sprinkled throughout the U.S.
That's good to know. Yeah. And I want Janisa to, like, you know, in the description of the podcast, I want to, like, list these OBGYNs because I feel like that is important. Yeah.
I have a whole list on my Google hard drive that I will send to you.
Yes.
Awesome. Do they recommend you? Like the gynecologist? Do you ever get referrals from
them? No, they're in different states.
Okay.
I've
so not here.
Got in contact through them through my STEAM facilitator who trained us.
Okay.
She has the plug through all of them because she actually, I don't know if she had trained them, but she has communications with them. And she had given those people to people who have trained in her program. Right.
Nice.
And they have different, their own private practices, et cetera. But they bring in, a lot of the STEAM friendly gynos bring in a facilitator into their practice.
Yeah.
Because they know they can't do it all. And they know someone who specializes in, you know, and you see me, they bring that person in.
Yeah.
So,
No, but in the beginning, I was skeptical because much of the medical community is like, the yoni steaming is bad and it shouldn't be done. And it can mess up your pH and it can burn you and all of this stuff. And then I was like, you know what? Let me do research because as a doctor, as a, you know, the part of science, like, I feel like I wanted to, like, do some research.
Right.
And I didn't find anything. Like, I didn't find any evidence for or against yoni steaming. Right. And I'm like, well, how can you give this information when you don't, there's no evidence to say for or against.
Yeah,
and it's been around for centuries. So, like, something is working.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is herbs we're talking about.
Exactly.
Natural medicine.
Exactly.
Right? That's so grown from the earth.
I always encourage people when they want to find good research on yoni steaming. There was a really good study done in 2017 in a college in India, and they did steaming for postpartum, right? And it was a 7-day like study, and they had the women who steamed and women who didn't. They had a 7-day steam, other girls didn't. They found at the end of it that the women who steamed 7 days had a significantly less amount of lochia, which is like the excess after you give birth, right? And they also noticed changes in their moods as well. So if you type in fumigation herb study on Google, you'll find it. But all the research is not in the West. It's all outside of the West.
Yeah.
So you just have to adjust your wording and adjust the location and you'll find it. But again, of course, they don't validate studies unless they're done in the West.
Yeah.
But again, I always say, ask women about their experiences with it because that right there is your research.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, and we forget about that a lot of the times.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang, fumigation. Okay, so I need to look. Herbs. I need to put in different words.
Yeah,
different
fumigation herbs. Absolutely.
And it would have popped up. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
But, you know, and like, I feel like Western medicine has adopted certain things from Eastern medicine.
Like,
so, you know, Chinese, acupuncture is a big thing, or, you know, yoga.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like there's a lot of things that have been adopted because there is some evidence, maybe evidence that like studies that have been done within the U.S.
Absolutely.
But I think that we are doing ourselves a disservice by like
just being like, no,
like being like, no, this is not going to work. But you know what? I think that again, I'm optimistic about the future. And I think that yoni steaming is going to be more like accepted.
Yeah, I agree. More prevalent.
Yeah.
And I think honestly, a lot of it comes from, this is not even just a Western thing, but this is holistic practitioners as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of there's a lot of ego in healing and in healthcare.
Yes.
People just want to be right. That we forget that we're forever students in this.
Yeah.
No, we're not a one size fits all.
Yeah.
You know?
True story.
I think we need to release the ego and focus on actually like the healing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And helping.
And
remembering to like encourage and empower people and remind them that, listen, you do have the power to heal yourself.
Yes.
But it's going to start in the mental. All is mental.
Yeah.
You know? So,
Sorry. sorry, you're saying.
Yeah,
you guys. We were talking earlier, and you were saying that you that there's someone doing getting ready to start a study about yoni steam.
Yeah,
I'm thinking like that is going to be big.
Yes, Kelly Garza. So she is the woman who owns or who started the Steamy Chick Institute, and that's who I got facilitated through. Steamy Chick Institute. Yes, her institution is incredible because it's global. And she has thousands and thousands of girls who are certified throughout the whole entire world. And it's a cool like network because we all contact each other and refer based on our own skills and our own gifts. Mm-hmm. All of the steam-friendly gynos are also listed on there as well. One practitioner, Dr. Lorena White, is a practitioner. She's a doctor, gynecologist, but has a different practice setting that has yoni steaming, yoga, all these different things into one. Mm-hmm. But Kelly Garza is having the first study in the West, a large scale yoni steam in the West. So it's in the trial period right now. She's gathering women, but it's going to be so huge because anyone that knows Kelly Garza, like she has a lot of good connections in Western medicine, Eastern medicine. So I think she's going to pull some really cool people together where because she has the name and the work to show for it, that it will actually get recognized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can't hide it when you have X amount of Western doctors, X amount of Eastern doctors all participating in this one study.
Yeah.
So it's the biggest one that's happened and I'm excited for it.
Nice.
So I definitely recommend people check out Steamy Chick Institute just to get regular information on it because she has a bunch of stories, testimonials from different women. You can find a bunch of different practitioners, whether they do Reiki, whether steaming, etc., all throughout there. So
nice.
Yeah, it's an incredible source of information there.
Yeah.
So. And side note, or going along what you're talking about, there is actually many medical studies that have been done up until this point. A majority are based on men and men's bodies, and not necessarily women.
Really?
So. Yeah,
which is crazy.
Which is crazy.
We literally created. We have the both chromosomes.
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense. And so a lot of the medicines that you know are commonly prescribed were tried on men, and so it didn't take that component of estrogen into account. So I want to see more studies that are women inclusive and you know like rate all different races.
It makes you wonder why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a whole
other thing. I was like, we all know why.
That's the end of the podcast. Yeah. But patriarchy.
Yeah.
Patriarchy.
Right.
I was like, we all know why.
Could you imagine if a bunch of women got together and healed themselves?
And didn't need medicine, Western medicine to do it.
And didn't, ooh, come on.
But then that's my question to you. Like, if someone is having issues, right? They don't feel aligned in their womb. Mm-hmm. Vulva, whatever the situation is, do you recommend they come to you instead of a gynecologist to figure out what's happening?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
I think depending on what the person is dealing with, if you're dealing with like you have a laceration, you need urgent, go to the doctor. Like, please, I'm an advocate for the doctor. Like, go get your checkups.
Yeah.
Please do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I think if you're, this is funny because I think if you're someone who deals with severe trauma and you're dealing with severe cramps, all these things, I think what matters is that person needs to use their discernment and go with what they feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
Anytime you go or you choose a holistic method, there's going to be a little like angst because you don't know if it works, all these other, you know, deciding factors into it. So I really encourage a person to use their intuition.
Yeah.
Right. And ask themselves, is this something that I know I need to sit with myself. I know I need to fix. Like if I keep getting yeast infections, I think you need to stop going to the doctor because you've been to the doctor 4 times in the last month.
Mm-hmm.
And what has that done for you? Like you really need to sit with yourself. This is not about the doctor. The doctor can't heal you. Yeah. I can't even heal you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to heal you.
Yeah.
And that's where I come in.
Yeah.
Because I don't claim to heal anybody.
Yeah.
I'm a stepping stool for their healing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're like a passageway.
I just provide the information.
Yeah.
You know, but ultimately I can't hold your hand there. That's very expensive.
Right.
So sorry. Like that's no. So
because then there's some people that prefer Eastern medicine over Western medicine.
Yeah.
And they don't feel comfortable going to a doctor.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is it okay to
And even then, if you're
explore with you,
I think so too. I think again, whatever the person feels comfortable with. Yeah. But if you're also someone who just wants to see like Eastern medicine, so one thing I have seen, people sometimes get like addicted to healing. They get addicted to trying these different modalities, acupuncture, steaming, all these things, and forgetting the actual healing in the mental.
Yeah.
That's honestly the worst because like you might need a Western doctor now because like I can't like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't help you. You healing can't help everything. You. Like you need to go somewhere. Yeah. Like I don't mean to be rude, but it's real though. Like, again, that's why I constantly repeat, like we are our own healers.
Yeah.
Quit seeking out, someone to do the work for you.
Yeah.
You know? So again, I leave that to the person. But I encourage people, if you are unfamiliar with cycle tracking, come see someone holistic first. Come or learn how to track your cycle first before you do anything. Yeah. First and foremost.
Yeah.
Your cycle will tell you everything you need to know about yourself. And if you know how to read it as well. So
would you recommend yoni steaming for every woman?
Every single woman. If you have a womb, definitely.
Nice. Mm.
Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. No, I agree too. And we didn't even get into our, like, you know, our session together, which was the main reason. We just talked about everything else. I mean, I felt rejuvenated. I felt like,
well, tell us what your process before. So you were apprehensive. What made you say, okay?
I was apprehensive, but I wanted to, you know,
I was apprehensive my first time.
You know what I mean? I think anyone is going to be apprehensive the first time.
But then there's different reasons why you would be. So for you.
I mean, I think it was because of, you know, other doctors within the community being like, no, yoni steaming is not good. Like, there's no evidence to say that it is going to help you.
Yeah.
And it's like, but there's no evidence to say the opposite either. So so I was like, you know, let me try it. Mm-hmm. And this was with my Viva La Vulva journey of starting in 2018. So, I was like, I want to do something like this. And so that was where I went to the Korean spa and sat for 30 minutes and they just gave me some, you know, some herbs. I don't even know what herbs I was sitting on. But I thought I enjoyed the process. Mm-hmm. I just enjoyed how I felt after. Right. And so
how'd you feel after?
I felt rejuvenated. I felt like I spent time to honor my womb. Mm-hmm. I felt like there were some emotions that came up after, actually during this one, during the one we did with you. But I think overall I just felt good. Like I felt like I was dedicating some time to
to my womb, to me.
Yes. Nice. To my source of power.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I felt good. I felt good after the Korean spa. But I especially felt good after our session because it was more personal. Like, you took me in and I filled out a questionnaire beforehand and we talked about the questions that you put on there. And I mean, you were very detailed. It's like, do you have any allergies? Do you are you sensitive to heat or to cold? Or, mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, you know, you're just doing steaming, just.
Right. Just sitting, you don't really know what's going on. Like, there was a process.
And so you put certain herbs together based on my cycles, based on something called uterine fatigue. I mean, like, something that I've never heard of. And
she's in a lot of Eastern medicine.
Even when I was like sitting and, you know, you left me alone for the 30 minutes, like, you had books by the side, the steaming, and it was like different, you know, alchemy books and magic books. And I just felt like it was a beautiful space.
Plant seeds.
It was a beautiful space to be able to do this yoni steaming. So I think it's not only the actual process, which is great, but I also think it is you being there to facilitate it, and to ask questions that nobody has really asked me. Like, I've gone to OBGYNs, I've gone to doctors, I've gone to other people, and I feel like you've asked me some very unique questions, and like it brought up stuff in me.
Like what?
What questions did you ask me? I mean, just about the cycles, like, yeah about the cycles, about my menstrual cycles and like how long my cycle is and, and like just kind even of certain things, some stuff like that. Yeah.
So when I facilitate consultations, I look at your cycle for the last 3 to 6 months and I try to look at trends. Right. Mm. How long your cycle days are, if some of them were extended, some were shorter. And the first thing I ask is, hey, what was going on during that month? Mm. Sometimes it clicks. They're like, oh, I'm super stressed out. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. That's why it was longer or shorter, you know, or even just some of the energetic symptoms.
Yeah.
Right. So, for example, I've told you about the hot flash. So if someone who is constantly who gets like backaches or they get headaches when they're on their period, that lets me know they're lacking like actual hydration, you know, where that comes from. Where is that life force being taken out of in your life?
Yeah.
For you to be so dehydrated that you're getting headaches and kidney pain when you're on your period. You know what I mean? So those are things you only know when you get into the nitty gritty of your cycle, asking what's going on. Do you feel different the different weeks of your cycle?
Yeah.
What goes on during the luteal phase?
Yeah.
How is the actual blood? What's it look like? What's it feel like for you? What are some of the things that you think about? What do you think they mean? Right, because everything means something. Nothing is a coincidence.
And I don't think of those things when my period comes.
Exactly.
Right.
You're like,
what?
But then once it becomes a habit, you start to look at these things. You're like, oh, this is a pattern.
Mm.
Like all these things that come up right before I start my period. Why are these things happening?
Yeah.
We're just thinking, oh, it just happens. And I'm like, no, that's your body literally telling you something.
Mm.
Your body can't speak to you consciously. It's going to show something, you know? So just shift your perspective and view your emotions through a bird's eye view.
Yeah.
You know, that does a lot. Get out of that that energy in motion.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's when a lot of healing can be done.
Nice.
Dang. Well, this was a...
Oh, wait, before we wrap up. uterine fatigue. Yeah. What is this term?
So I've never heard of this. I know it sounds so aggressive, but I swear it's not.
Yeah.
Anytime anyone has a cycle that is shorter than 28 days, like 27 days or less, that's what Eastern medicine considers uterine fatigue. That means your chi is lacking. Life force energy is lacking, which is why your uterus is having a hard time holding on. This is a telltale sign of uterine fatigue. If you start to spot, you stop bleeding and then you bleed a few days later or a day later, right? Because your uterus is trying to hold on, being, oh, it's not ready to release yet. But, oh, I'm so tired. Ugh, I have to release.
Yeah.
Think about it. She's a doctor. She's literally healing people for 12 hours, just 24 hours out of a day. I could imagine why you'd be a little tired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but again, your menstrual cycle.
But it can be energetic as well.
That's the energetic right there.
I see.
There's not anything physically wrong with her, right?
Yeah.
Your uterine is not stressed. You don't have prolapse. Not that kind of fatigue. But on the energetic side, like, there are things that are taking up space, which could potentially be the reason why there's not enough space to call in anything anew from the ethers.
You know?
Makes sense.
So
that's
why I was adamant about like creating that space, being more in that love frequency with your partner when you're calling in these things. I know what artificial insemination is very techy, but make it sexy. I know it's not really sexy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you can.
But like make it sexy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was talking about you, Scorpio girl. I know you. You know what I mean? Like make it sexy. Bring in more of that love frequency when you're calling in that baby. So that baby's like, oh, you know, maybe get cozy.
Okay,
uterine fatigue, I just tell women, like, be mindful, especially when you do try to have kids, because when you have uterine fatigue, your body will have a harder time holding on to a pregnancy.
Mm.
Can't even hold on to your uterus for you to bleed.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hard time holding on for 9 months for it to be closed.
Yeah.
The cervix has to be closed.
Yeah.
You know? So, again.
That makes sense.
I did look up the uterine fatigue because I was like,
what is this?
Because I had never heard about it. And then it was like, you know, the Chinese medicine equivalent of it is like qi lacking.
And the spleen specifically. Yeah, spleen tonic.
Deficiency.
Spleen deficiency. Yes,
so
absolutely.
I was like, okay.
That's the first time I've heard of this uterine fatigue.
Well, that's good to know, right? It's good to know.
Yeah, it's cool.
I dealt with it for years. So, you know?
Right? Well,
so I'm glad you got to have this experience.
Yes, it was fun.
I'm really glad. It's a beautiful, natural, organic way of like healing yourself and your body just to welcome in
absolutely
a new soul, right?
New soul into the womb.
Yes.
One thing I do want to say for my girlies that are looking to steam, please find the right practitioner and don't buy your herbs online. If you can get a custom blend for you, yeah. do that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these blends that are being sold they're heavily cleansing. Mm-hmm. And someone like
Dr. Kara,
like yeah. that would induce a that'll induce her period. And she'll be like, dang, why did I get a period on day 14? Yeah. Yoni steaming's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, no, you get find the right practitioner, find the right herbal blend. I always say before you do it at home, do it with a professional practitioner first. Get all the information you can and then get a custom blend for you and then steam at home. Because I encourage steaming at home.
Yeah.
But again.
Yeah, I've been that one.
Yes.
I've purchased it online.
Yes. You know, I get it.
And I have my little toilet bowl seat, cover thing.
It's not plastic, is it?
It's plastic.
Oh, God, throw it away.
It's plastic. They have the little package of herbs, and I've thrown it in. I boiled it myself, put it in. And
I'm going to get you a stainless steel, not plastic.
That's me up.
BPA plastics have been your vote. You don't want that.
I didn't think of that. See?
Right? The only steam in natural materials.
Natural materials.
Yeah.
Now we
got
know.
You.
But I've done yoni. But yeah, I love the energy and the effect of yoni steaming. I just did it recently because I was inspired that Kara was doing it. Yeah. I was like, I have some at home. Let me try it. But I was going to a Millionaire Summit.
Yeah.
Shout out to ROI. And that way I was like, I'm cleansing my yoni so I can welcome in more abundance, more wealth, more money. So there's different reasons to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, money's coming.
So how, Janisa, can people stay in contact with you? Yeah. How can they find you to be their practitioner? Or how can they find people if they're not in the California or Southern California area to hook up with a practitioner?
Out-of-state girls, you can find me at awaken.lotus on Instagram. The best way to contact me is definitely through my website, awakenlotus.com. Find me on Yelp, Awaken Lotus. If you type in yoni steaming Orange County, I'll pop up as well. So Awaken Lotus all across the board is where you can find me. And I do ship.
So if they are not in California,
I do virtual steams. Okay. I ship custom
You can do consultations.
I do. I have a few virtually clients as well. So we do virtual steams for the first time. So they have the comfort of a practitioner being there, guiding them through it.
Do you send them the materials first?
I do send them materials as well. Well, we have our consultation. I send them the materials. And then they go forth. And then we have our FaceTime or Zoom situation.
Nice.
So,
so you're accessible.
I'm very accessible.
Well, it will be in the description all of how to keep in contact with Janisa or how to steam with her. And thank you, Pete Yvonne, for being a co-host on the podcast today.
I didn't want to miss it. I'm like, yo, Janisa's coming. We got to talk about some things, girl.
And thank you all out there for listening to the Viva La Vulva podcast. Subscribe. Let your friends and family know about the podcast.
Also, we have a segment where Dr. Kara gets a yoni steam, which you guys will get to experience. Lucky y'all. And with Janisa, so you guys can see how the process goes and see for yourself if you'd like to get a yoni steam. So check us out right after this interview. There will be an experience on YouTube. Check us out.
Bye.
Bye.